cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Our next guest works at the world's biggest brewer, maker of Budweiser and Corona. He has spent nearly 20 years at the company, has some thoughts for us on today's marketplace and what consumers want. He's also the former global president of AB InBev's Beyond Beer division, so we can talk about a lot with him.
Very pleased this afternoon to have Marcel Marcondes with us. He's chief marketing officer at AB InBev. He's with us in person in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. It's really nice. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's so cool to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we love having you here. Marcel, I want to just talk about the global outlook here and what you're seeing. I mean, you guys operate in so many different countries, so you have a really good idea of what's happening on the ground. The world struggling with inflation, there are concerns about the economy here in the U.S., around the world. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm seeing that although everything you just said is absolutely true, of course, and we all feel it, there's another big force having a big impact in how we behave and in the economy as well. I really believe in that. Like, hopefully we're getting out of this COVID thing. So especially when you think about
hopefully,
our business.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you can even affirm it because there can always be a new variant showing up anytime, knock on the wood. But anyway, especially for our business, for the beer business, it's very meaningful to see that people are really willing to go back to life. Right, to enjoy, to be outside, to enjoy concerts, to be with friends, to be with family, to have a good time, to feel like they can enjoy time together one more time. This has an impact on the economy. This has a significant impact in our business as well. You can imagine all the frequency on restaurants, bars, mm-hmm. events, or all those things that were not happening anymore. So there's a balance, long story short, in terms of points of concern, as it's always the case in life, but a lot of points for optimism as well.
Do you feel like you have a lot of clarity and in terms of the outlook? And it's interesting that you talk about events. Tim and I did a couple of shows from the U.S. Open here in New York City. And, I mean, it was packed. And people were eating. People were drinking. People were enjoying. People were shopping. People were enjoying incredible tennis. But it does feel like... And it was so packed compared to where it was pre-pandemic. Like, people are just starving, it looks like, to do things.
It did set records, Carol.
It did set records,
right? Yeah, it's the most attended U.S. Open.
So having said that, do you feel like the economy is stronger versus, like, all of the recessionary talk that seems to be going on globally?
Yes, and I am optimistic. That's exactly how I feel, especially for our segment, for our industry. I am optimistic. I think there's a lot of bright side, a lot of bright angles for us to observe, like the ones you just described. People are out there. There's always a key concern about inflation, recession here and there, but there's a bigger inner voice and energy saying, go live. Let's talk about something different, like travel.
Right.
Like you all, for sure you've been traveling, you've been going to airports, they're all packed. Right, there's some crisis because of lack of staff on the airlines and stuff, but people are moving.
Yeah.
Right. So there's definitely some reasons for optimism as well.
Well, it's interesting hearing you speak this way, because obviously your job is to tap into what people are feeling, because you need to know how to communicate to them. You need mm-hmm. to know how to express your brands to them in a way that they will be receptive to. How have you your communication, AB InBev's communication, changed over the last couple of years? Like, what is the message that you are sending right now? And I know this varies depending on the market, but how would you characterize it?
That's a very good question. And actually, I should take one or two steps back before I get really straight into your question, because I think we as a company, we're going through a meaningful process of evolution. We're known for our financial discipline and for growing inorganically. But then in the last couple of years, to your question, we became the indisputable number one brewery in the world. And by the time you become the number one, you lead the category. So your growth model needs to adjust. It needs mm-hmm. to evolve, because it's not about acquiring other companies anymore and just fighting for share. You need to work to enlarge and to grow the whole category so that everybody wins and you win together. Meaning, we need to move from a growth model that is focused on inorganic growth to a growth model that is focused on organic growth. And by the time any company makes that decision, brands become inevitably one of the most important assets mm-hmm. of the organization, if not the most important ones. And this is when we really talk about our messaging and all that. So we are intentionally becoming much more consumer-centric, and this is for real. It's not just a nice thing to say. So we became obsessed about talking to people, understanding what's going on with them, what's impacting their behaviors, which are their needs, so that we can identify relevant opportunities to make our brands relevant in their lives. The key thing is that when you do marketing, when you build brands, there's a trap or a tendency for people to be okay just if they're visible. And then you can spend a lot of money just on visibility. The key thing to really drive growth and to be meaningful to people is when you find the right spots to be relevant to them.
How do you figure out relevancy in
the marketplace? It all comes as a consequence of being close to them. So we talk to literally millions of people every year. We have
surveys. Like, what do you do?
We have online panels and fixed online panels. We talk to thousands of consumers every week. We talk to millions of consumers on a given year, because we're obsessed about understanding their behavior, their needs, and the changes in their routine. We learn a lot of that coming after COVID, right? Because when a big thing happens that significantly changes the way people live, we need to have a much tighter pulse on how they're living, so you can identify the opportunities to be meaningful and relevant in their lives. And that's a big change that we've been going through as an organization.
Because there's so many brands at AB InBev, 500. Some 500 brands. How this is structured internally, because you can't personally oversee 500 brands. So take us inside the company a little bit.
Okay. So welcome to the, I was about to say welcome to the kitchen, but I'd rather say welcome to the bar.
To the brewery.
Works for us.
To the brewery. All right. Basically, I have heads of marketing responsible for the different regions of the world. And I also have people reporting directly to me to lead from those 500 brands with the four global brands. These are the brands that really have gigantic global scale, and they are Budweiser, Stella Artois, Corona, and Michelob Ultra. So there's a special focus there, plus the long tail of brands, because this is still an industry where 50-ish percent of the industry is focused still in local brands. So beer is so connected with culture,
right?
So in the different countries, we have powerful, big local brands that are extremely meaningful, because on top of being strong beer brands, they are heavily connected with the local culture. They usually carry the local pride, you know?
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, do you anticipate that those four brands continue to be really kind of the engine for the company going forward? Or from what you're seeing with consumers, are tastes going to change maybe significantly?
Oh yeah, definitely yes. Because these four brands, they are premium brands.
Yeah.
And the premiumization is a gigantic trend that we see having a huge impact in multiple industries, including ours. It's here to stay.
When cyber criminals strike, the difference between a catastrophic event and resilience is preparedness. Finance leaders who plan ahead can thwart the damage posed by ransomware. Yet in a recent EY poll, only 23% of directors expressed confidence in their organization's ability to respond to a ransomware attack. Cyber preparedness is just one facet of the complex risk landscape finance leaders face every day. Now more than ever, it's vital to keep ahead of developments. Cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Still with us is Marcel Marcondes. He's Chief Marketing Officer at AB InBev, formerly the global president of the company's Beyond Beer division. Still with us in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. We had a fun conversation while Charlie was giving us an update. What are the top brands that sell in the United States?
I'll give you the top two, okay? So number one is not going to be hard to guess. It's Bud Light, and it's been the case for decades. But number two might be new news for you. Number two is Michelob Ultra. Low carbs, low calorie, great taste.
It's been around for 20 years, though.
It's been around for 20 years. And since last year, it's the number two brand in volumes in the United States.
Tim, you were shocked by that.
Yeah, I was really surprised because to me, it's still a new brand. Even though it is 20 years old, it's one of those brands that I think I remember when it was introduced. How has it been so successful, and why, especially in the last year, has it seen a real uptick?
I think, again, it's all about getting extremely well connected with consumer behavior and with big consumer trends and industry trends. In this case, we see that health and wellness is a big trend. We see this in every industry, right? And for sure, COVID has accelerated that as well. People became more and more health conscious.
Yeah.
So we see a clear impact of this in our industry too. And this has definitely accelerated the performance of Michelob Ultra.
Marcel, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like Tim and I, for so many of our conversations for a long time, and I do feel like we're getting increasingly away of thinking about the COVID impact. But what happened to you guys during COVID that has stayed with you in terms of corporate strategy and how you relate with consumers?
No, that's very a very good question. So when you think about brands commercial trends in the industry, I could name three. So the first one, as we just spoke about, is health and wellness. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons, people became much more health conscious. This has an impact on everything. Mm-hmm. In our case, we feel it. We feel the same. There was a very nice acceleration of Michelob Ultra, for example, as a consequence of that. Second point is premiumization, because beer is affordable luxury. Right. So when people say like, OK, things are complicated, I want to give myself some treat, and then they can afford great beer. So we see premiumization. Again, this is a trend that we see happening in multiple industries. But in our case, in the beer industry, it's a very evident and strong trend. So back to your previous question on the global brands, they're all premium and they continue to be the big growth engine of the company because they're sitting over a gigantic trend for the industry. The third thing that I think we all feel it in our daily lives is e-commerce. Because of the lockdown lives, people started getting used to buying things online. And for us, it's happening as well. So we've been investing significant amounts of money on technology, on building those platforms. And for example, another point that is probably going to be a curiosity for a lot of people, more than 50% of our net revenues, they are already sold worldwide via digital channels.
How does that work for beer?
Yeah.
Right?
How does that work?
So I mean, we know this Drizzly, is because
Drizzly and like those apps, but
this is sold from us to the clients, to the retailers, right? So okay. to the on-trade. So this is our business to business.
Okay.
This is our business to business platform called Bees. It's already one of the top 10 e-commerce platforms in the world. Mm-hmm. But imagine a company our size, more than 50% of our net revenues are already sold via digital channels.
What about direct to consumer?
Direct to consumers, thanks for the question. This is our next endeavor. So we have already in a few countries.
So Tim's going to be able to get his Michelob Light. Just click on it.
Michelob Ultra. Yeah.
Ultra. Sorry.
So in the U.S. Specifically, we have strong partnerships with the big retailers that also have online versions like Walmart and so on and so forth, and Drizzly and the ones you mentioned. We cannot operate in the U.S. doing direct to consumers operations, but in multiple countries of the world we can. In Brazil, it already represents more than 5% of our total sales. We sell direct to consumers there, and we're just about to launch. Like FIFA World Cup will be a big opportunity for us, especially in Latin American markets.
Right.
Because imagine how many people will be watching the games at home and feeling like, oh, I should have ordered more beers. So we're launching Tada.
Or I've already had a six pack and I can't go out. So yeah. I'm just kidding.
So we're launching Tada. Tada, right? Which is our new global brand for direct to consumers in more than 10 countries in the second semester of this year. And this is growing very fast.
Marcel, are beer trends among consumers, I mean, this is probably a stupid question, but I mean, are they the same? Like, do the trends that change, is it the same or different markets and what consumers want are different? Like, how different is
some trends are some things they hit
like the wellness trend,
the different markets with different intensity, but they're the same. Like the mega trends, as we say, like premiumization, health and wellness, e-commerce, these are mega trends. But for example, beyond beer is something that is not equally split yet. So you see like the US, for example, having a very meaningful market already for beyond beer. I mean, seltzers, ready to drink cocktails, hard teas, and these kinds of products.
Right.
It's already 10-ish percent of the total industry in the US. It's very sizable. In other markets, it's still more at early stages. So this is one trend. It is a trend everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's still unevenly distributed. For example, this is what brings a lot of female drinkers. You were asking me offline about it, right? So
yeah.
It brings a lot of female drinkers into the business, a lot of younger consumers into the business. It's growing a lot. We used to say it's inclusive, incremental, and profitable. So it's a great business to be part of.
When people say non-alcoholic beer, do you like, oh my God, please don't say that? Or do you say, okay, we're in it?
We learned something from experience. Like if you want to say that we are consumer centric for real, we can never say, oh no, don't talk to me about it, because if consumers are looking after those solutions, we need to be best in class in giving it to them. And non-alc is a trend as well because it is connected to health and wellness.
What's the growth you're seeing in non-alcoholic?
We're seeing double-digit growth.
But it's coming from a small base, right?
Yes. In the US, for example, it's around 1% of the industry. In Europe, it's closer to 10, between 5 and 10. So it's a different kind of conversation.
Right.
But it is growing everywhere.
What's your brand? What are your brands that are non-alcoholic?
We're the leaders in the U.S., for example. We have Busch Non-Alc. We have Odose Non-Alc. But our leading brand in terms of growth now, because it's more recent, is Bud Zero. Mm. 50 calories, no sugar, 0.0 alcohol. It's a very modern liquid. We just launched Stella. Non-alc in Europe. We're piloting this in the U.S. now, and the heavy hitter that we have now is Corona Cero. We have in multiple markets in Canada, in Europe. We're starting this in Latin America as well, and it's amazing because for you to have the taste of a real Corona with the lime, whenever you're looking for a non-alc proposition, it's just irresistible.
All right, it's been a rough day, a rough week, a rough month. What's your drink of choice?
I always have my Michelob Ultra at home, my Stella at home, and my Cutwater at home as well, which is a ready-to-drink cocktail that is just amazing.
All in one night?
Sometimes, yes. Why not?
He's
right?
He's got to do it for work, Carol.
It's
part of his job.
That's right.
Okay?
Making sure you know your product. This was fun. Come back.
Please,
really
always.
It.
Thank you so much.
Marcel Macondes, he is Chief Marketing Officer at AB InBev, and lucky for us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio.
It's good to have you back, Carol. Welcome
it's
back.
It's good to be back. It would be even better if we had a Michelob Ultra.
All right, let's go. We'll get one.
Next time. This is Bloomberg.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.